Joy Melchizedek, Sister Joy, is doing a show with me this week. I'm delighted to have her back. It's been a long time since we've actually did a show, and we haven't conversed as much, and I just think it's probably because we both have a lot going on. So, from Pennsylvania, Middletown, Pennsylvania, Joy Melchizedek. How are you doing, Joy?
I'm good. It's great to be back with you and talking again and laughing and commiserating and all the good stuff, you know?
If people knew what we were doing about 10 minutes ago.
Well, that's okay. I will give them a brief summary. It's the issues of boundaries when you're doing global service, how important they are.
But the
and
laughter,
of course, TJ had me rolling on the floor.
Thank you. That's the great thing about laughter, though, isn't it, Joy? Because I know it lifts me and makes me feel so good. And they say it's healing, isn't it?
Yes. It is. It's healing. It's also an expression of light. It's one way people lighten the energy around you. It's a way that we're able to express light through laughter, to give it and receive it. I mean, my favorite photos of Jesus are the laughing Jesus. That's my favorite photo of him.
I bet he laughed quite a bit. I bet he laughed a lot, didn't he?
Oh, I think he did, you know. He had to have a sense of humor. I mean, look at what he was doing, you know. It takes a lot of laughter to get through some of the stuff that he lived through, so, you know.
And I think also the universe, they always say that there's a lot of laughter in the other dimensions, the higher dimensions. So to me, it just seems like a really natural thing, and nothing like the joy of a child's laugh. That's healing too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know how you can pull up those videos online. My favorite one, sometimes I'll sit and I'll watch the kids laughing, just the videos of the kids laughing. It's like hearing little angel bells go off. It's so cute.
Isn't it something?
You know?
It's such a natural thing, and it's such a, it just seems like it's what we're meant to be. I think we're meant to be laughing more often than anything, so. But it's good to have you back, Joy. What have you been doing the last, I don't know when the last time we did a show, but what have you been doing with since the last time we talked?
Oh, I'm writing. I'm doing a lot of writing right now. I'm working on my book. And I know I have been saying that for years, but I seriously have been writing every day for a couple of months now. So I had a dream that should be done soon. So in heaven and on earth, because they are one, we will have the world's largest party when that book is just complete. I'm still working with the kids, and we have our holiday party on Saturday, and it's really sweet. The kids that, oh, my God, I just get such a kick out of them. We have more space to work with them because I relocated twice in the same town. I thought I was going to Arizona, but I felt called. I had to stay here for now. So that's really sweet, and I'm still doing a lot of moon circles every month with the women, and heart thread, and circuitry alignment, and readings, and the usual. And I'm also teaching some classes, which I love doing. Heart thread training for facilitator and circuitry alignment trainers, and I'm doing, I don't think we got into this much, but I do some work with crystals. So I have been doing a lot of grid work with the earth to realign things energetically to assist the earth's ascension. So I've been enjoying that, having a blast with that. And sometime we'll have to maybe get into that quite a bit.
That sounds good. That sounds very interesting. And something we all can do, right? Something we all can do?
Sure. But I would suggest, now I didn't share this. I don't know. I think I haven't shared everything online. I, I was actually taken up in a ship one time. Did I tell you?
We had, I think that might even been one of our shows partially at one time. I think we did.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, and in that experience, I feel I was trained to do the grid work that I have been doing. So what I've been doing now is training people to learn how to work with crystals at times, too.
Hmm.
So it's a combination of things. Yes, it's something anyone can do. But because we, our history has a lot of stuff around it concerning the destruction of Atlantis, and that actually came about because of the misuse of crystals. I find that I'm very careful who I train and what intent they have, to do it. So, but overall, we can all do everything, you know. That we know that, you know. Nobody has the special T-shirt. I checked. So, yep. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Still working at the radio station, still doing my podcasting, and just seems like, you know, things have gotten busier and busier. So certain times of the year, I'm really on the run a lot. And now this time of year, when winter comes around, I slow down a little bit, and that's good because maybe I can do some more reflecting and focus on the things that I need to focus on. I'm like you, I'm writing that book, and I've written in it a fair amount, but I still got a ways to go yet. But a little bit here and there. One of these days, we'll both be finished. And then maybe we can, you know, read each other's book. At least we'll have two people, to read the book.
Well, I've already purchased a copy of your book, and of course I want it autographed.
Oh, well, I'll see if I can get him to do it, talking in the third person. I'll see if I can get TJ to do that. You know, he's got us quite the schedule, so we'll see. We'll see how that works.
So you have a third person personality now, huh?
Yes, I do. Yeah. When you become an author, you develop that. You know how it is. Anyway.
Really?
It's good to talk to you, Joy, but we're going to talk about a couple of different things. And when you told me that you were interested in maybe talking about Morgan Le Fay, do you want to tell us about Morgan?
Sure. This is the first time I've come forward this way with Morgan, and I'm excited. I've been channeling her for a while, and who she is in the legend of King Arthur. She was supposed to be the dark witch that created all kinds of havoc, and that isn't the story. That's not the real story. There's a movie out. It's called The Myths of Avalon. And it actually tells her story, and it sets the record straight. And it was interesting because when she came to me to channel her, I ignored her for like 20 years. Wouldn't do it. And then I met Rosalind, and her and I were talking, and Rosalind gave me some encouragement, and it was amazing. I started to acclimate to her energy more, and I started to come to know her deeper. And it seems that, her big thing is to shine the depth of the light on the truth where it needs to be. That's her big thing. So she'll cast the light into the illusion very strongly. And that, I find, is imperative nowadays. So it just seems kind of telling that she's around right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are other souls that channel Morgan Le Fay, and you know, I am honored to be one that does, and I'm kind of eager to get started. I started feeling her circling around, but I'm going to take a minute or two, and I'm going to attempt to keep my throat clear. I've had a little something going on, but I should be okay. Okay. So just give me a minute to focus. I have come here to this place to offer each of you assistance with opening to the channels of truth and light that you carry interdimensionally for yourself and others. You see, we all operate as a hologram. We all have consciousness, and we all have light. Whether the light is shining or not is actualized through the concept or knowing of the depth of your awareness of your own light. So what I am calling forth from each of you is the memory that you too are the light, that you are not separate, and that the light shines brightest in the dark. These days before you now are days where the wonderings of how to find the way home for many souls is occurring. With great rapid motion, the light is calling the souls that have forgotten their inner light to come and hold the capacity to shine once more. So I offer you this wisdom, this sense of knowing that you too have been actualized interdimensionally, whether you are consciously aware or not. You too have been called to the memory of oneness. Whether you choose to answer, or whether you choose to sleep, or whether you choose to divide yourself from the concept that you are one, whether you choose to walk out of fear into the light and shine greatly, whether you choose to exit from the earth herself, these choices are mindful and before each of you. Many channels are cohabitating in the dimensions to birth and bring forth new realities of dimensions that have not quite touch the ground fully, and yet their vibration is becoming familiar to those that are circling around and seeking a way out of the dark. It is I am one, who have lived in caves and who had to disperse my light for many eons. When I came forth, ready to shine the light of truth that I carry and offer it to others who are ready to receive it, there was a quickening with my sisters, who are light bearers, that came together and called forth a memory of oneness to become actualized and become a natural state of being for those who seek it. So it is no longer a dream that you are living. It is the waking from the dream. And that is part of what is calling the fifth dimension forward. It is a frequency, it is an awareness, a shift in perception that aligns and houses all that you are needing to experience to hold the vibration of divinity within yourself. It is I, Morgan Le Fay, beseeching you to come forward and be held up in love. For it is through love, from the open heart, the light will shine brightest. I am blessing you, Brother TJ, and I am offering service as you are requesting. I am available for answers if you choose to offer questions.
Yes, I do. You know me, I usually have plenty. So, first of all, Morgan, people probably aren't familiar with who you are, I'm sure. Can you tell us about your earthly life when you were here?
I was trained in Avalon in the realm of High Priestess, and I was King Arthur. I was Arthur's sister. He was my brother. And he was my half-brother. He was my younger brother. So as he grew, we were close. And then there came a time when, through the design of the time, he was encouraged to go off and be trained by Merlin. And I was taken off into Avalon. And we were kept in seclusion from each other until we were rejoined at the Beltane fast and rites and reunited in ways and fashions that we did not understand. His story and my story are parallel in many ways. In the sense, we were what you would call twin flame connectors or connections. And yet we were not able to be together because of our bloodlines. We were reunited in that lifetime so that we could come and bring about a shift on the planet in the consciousness with the intent of heralding in peace. But rather than have peace, there was great discord because there was an unfolding within the family lines where there was a misuse of power and magic through the lineage. Now, rather than the souls who were responsible take responsibility, during that time I was scapegoated and judged. And the essence of who I am was hidden from souls until this time. It has been the awakening that has called me forward to come out of the shadows that I once hid in so that I could bring the light forward and offer this to everyone and others that are ready to receive it. I do house an understanding of how magic can affect the whole, or as some would call miracles, can affect the whole. My lineage, of course, is linked to the ideas of how to bring heaven to earth, but not necessarily using those words. My lineage has attempted to bring that frequency in long before souls were ready to receive the message. But there have been threads left, partially due to the work that was done through me and Arthur, Guinevere, and all those that were players at that time.
Can I ask another question? Because I just heard this. I read this actually on a website, Golden Age of Gaia. They were talking about JFK and John Kennedy. They said was like Lancelot or one of the knights.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. That is accurate, and that time frame there was an attempt to bring in Camelot. It was an attempt to bring that frequency. He was a reincarnation of Lancelot, or not Lancelot, but Arthur, actually Arthur. This is the reason why he was put in a position of being a president, and just as so, he was killed, as was Arthur, all right?
Okay.
Now, there is also that one you know as Jackie. She was Queen Guinevere.
Interesting. That's
fascinating. Yes.
Now, go ahead.
There are different facets and roles that you have played during that time as well.
Really?
So,
I'm guessing I was the jester.
Well, your humor has always been present in many, many lifetimes because you do have an uplifting sense of humor that creates ripples of light when people are around. But there is that internal knowing that there is this part of you that has sat at the round tables and, you know, with others that were knights. And I will say to you that you were knighted. And if you care to investigate, you may want to uncover the potential of what role you played then, if you choose.
I certainly do. You can't give me more detail? Did I have a name?
Yes. Yes, you had a name, and you were known. And I would recommend that you investigate a bit so you can feel for yourself.
How do I go about investigating that, Morgan? How do I go about investigating that, then?
Seek the legend and the story and read the different stories. I would recommend that you are reading or viewing the myths of Avalon. There is an accuracy there that is vibrationally cohesive with truth that may resonate for you strongly.
You know, since you talk about this, and just getting off on a side note a little bit, I've always been fascinated about that era, you know, knights and those kind of things. So it does ring in my heart. When did this take place? Is there a time period you can give us when King Arthur, because I know a lot of people say it's a legend and how do you prove it, but King Arthur actually existed, and when, what time period is this in?
Well, in my world, right, where I am observing from, there are pieces that are linked to magic that are considered legend, that do not have a time association. But the actual history of King Arthur does have a certain time frame. When you look, it was after Christ's time, hundreds of years after, in that frame there, where you will notice that there are remnants and there are what you want to call souvenirs or things that are left behind from that time that had proof, actual tangible proof, that there was this king who desired peace and that he was there and that it was stationed in England and that there is that legend, but not just legend, known as Avalon. You see, when I went through my trainings, I was learning how to shapeshift beyond time and space. So I did not have associations to those time frequencies. But I want to say to you that it was hundreds of years after the shift with Christ, when Christ had come, because he came first. And this was during the Revelation time when patriarchal society was in flux and diminishing the goddess temples. It was during the destruction of the goddess temples in England and Ireland that this was occurring. And you will notice, though, that the one that was able to house the goddess energies in a religious order, as Catholicism, was Mother Mary. So she was able to stay and hold the goddess energy as it was being destroyed through many, not the energy being destroyed, but the relics and the temples were being taken down. So this was a very tumultuous time, and it was a time when souls were choosing between Christianity and paganism. So there was a split, and it was Arthur who was educated in both Christianity and the pagan traditions. So does that answer your question?
Sure. Yes, it does. You mentioned that you were coming here to bring the truth. What are some of the truths that you would like to tell us? Is there, because, you know, I see a world that is changing rapidly. People are standing up. Women are gaining power. Children are gaining power. Animals gaining respect. What other truths do we need to know?
Well, as you know, truth is relative, and my perception of truth has its own frequency, which invites souls that are ready to receive and align with this particular level of continuum, this particular ray. This, what I offer in the aspect of truth, is the idea or the knowing that the myths that you have been told have been presented to degrade the feminine aspects that have played roles in their stories. So my attempt to reorder and reestablish the foundation of truth in the legends and myths is to call forth the truth that has occurred, that has created the foundation of these legends, so that they can be seen as actual stories, which are her stories. You see, there are these threads where the feminine has been disregarded in so many fashions and ways that it is taking a tribe, a wave of conscious souls to bring through different aspects of what the truth is for her story. So this is evident, and it is also my desire or my intent to stabilize truth as it operates from a point where the consciousness is so high, where magic and miracles and what has been hidden concerning the connection of heart and power linked to these expressions can be expressed in a way where the light is shining through and all is well received as it occurs.
And would you say that this is happening now because of the great shift that we've been undergoing since 2012 and even before then? Is this all part of that moving us towards the truth in the fifth dimension?
As you and the one Joy were speaking, there was words said that this fifth dimension is imparted in souls that are intended to bring it and birth it forth, bring it forth. And this is occurring now and has been. There are souls from the fifth dimension here, and they are working with laying the grid lines and establishing these points here on the earth. And there are souls that believe themselves to be living in the third dimension, so they actualize that frequency, and those are the markers they live from. In other words, their attachment state to the third dimension, which is linked through time. You see, the door to the third dimension is time. When you work outside of time and space, you have access to the other dimensions. When you vibrate your light higher and higher, you travel into those perceptions and those realities, and you are able to live the vibration of that truth. You understand, right?
Somewhat.
So it is, if you consider that the third dimension, the entry point into the third dimension is established through a belief in the time continuum. So time is a door,
right,
that leads to the third dimension, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you are conscious and you are knowing that ultimately there is no time and space, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is a reality for you. You know that. So you are not a third dimensional being. Your only conflict is trying to live in the third dimension.
That's
you
the hard part.
You are not a third. Yes. So that is your mastery, right?
Right.
So part of what you are experiencing when you keep thinking this time is going to come, this time is going to come, well, the time is already here, and it has been here for those that are vibrating to it. It is birthing through them. So you can start to, if you choose, claim to raise your vibration so that you are holding and living the perceptions of the fifth dimension now.
Hmm.
Okay? Now, because of the assimilation of consciousness and light and inner knowing, there's an integration that is necessary to hold that vibration. It will be perceived by people as something that is going to happen.
I see.
Okay?
I see, yeah.
What I am saying to you is ride that wave and let the knowing of what your consciousness already knows to come forward, because you are linked to the fifth dimension. The waiting is a human reality, a third-dimensional reality.
Hmm.
The raising of the vibration is living the truth that you already know.
Very well said. Let me ask you, if you don't mind, Morgan, and thank you so much for joining us.
It is my honor. It is my honor to come forward and to be with each of you. I've hungered to communicate.
Well, she talked about that.
Especially.
Joy was excited. At first she said, well, I wasn't real. I'm just going to say what Joy said. She said, well, I didn't really know if I wanted to talk to Morgan, something to that effect. I don't mean to put words in her mouth. But then it just kept coming over me more and more and more. And I guess I wanted to ask, what is Joy's connection to this time period? Because I'm guessing she was there as well.
Well, you are proficient at coming with questions that will cause the channel to even pause. That is part of your gift, to delve into what is deepest. The connection that Joy offers and has offered with me is an integration of sorts between her consciousness and mine, where she has been a witness to the depths of the illusion and the darkness that so many times have been offered before me to heal. So there is an innate vibrational link between us, and I remain constant in her field, whether she is there consciously with me or not, the vibration is stable and stronger in its integration now than ever.
Wow, that's pretty cool. But she was around during that period, as you mentioned that I was a knight during that period. Was she around physically in a physical body at that point?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
So yes. She's witnessed
she
much
of it. With me, and linked in me.
Okay.
So if you think you know of the stories of Christ and the different aspects of consciousness, that sort of thing that Christ had,
mm-hmm.
144 aspects inside of the body, well, there were different aspects I've had.
Okay.
So this is part of the reason that there is more than one conscious channel for Morgan Le Fay.
Interesting. That is well said again.
Yes.
Makes some sense. It makes some sense why some people will, you know, everybody's drawn to different things. And, and maybe there's slightly different versions of what you say. Now, you were painted in history as kind of the bad guy, weren't you?
Yes, and that is part of the illusion that I have come to break through. I have come to, in a way, set the record straight to establish the foundation of truth stronger, that peace needs to be vibrationally cohesive with the hologram concerning what role was played.
And what, tell us the role if you'd like. You have the stage, so you can say whatever you like, as far as whatever it is you want to get off your spiritual chest, so to speak.
Well, it is my knowing, and from my heart, that I went into that lifetime and knew from a soul level what role I would play and how necessary it was to remain hidden for quite some time, because the world had to be ready for the divine feminine to hold her place once more. So it was out of service for the goddess and for the whole, the oneness and humanity, that I allowed a vilification to occur, knowing at the same time, at some point, the truth of who I am would be revealed.
So none of the things that the legend talks about, none of those things were accurate then?
Well, there are aspects that were accurate. There were certain frameworks that had occurred. There was disputes, familial disputes. There were there was that operation between the god and the goddess. There were different things in the legend. Arthur was a beautiful being and truly desired to serve and to serve well. And Lancelot was indeed a precious soul as well, able to shine in a way and support his brethren of the circle in a way that few were able to do. His peace was pivotal. The role he played was pivotal, and yet the legend, the way it is told, is not fully accurate. This is the reason why I am encouraging that if you seek to find more vibrational truth, that you would watch that movie or read that particular book. You know, you see, though, the legend, it has served and has encouraged young children to come in contact with the notion or idea that knights were wonderful souls. And at the same time, the majority of those that were truly in their heart and were operating from pure intent were in service to the goddess. And that was hidden.
Mm. All right? Interesting, yeah.
Yes.
Fascinating. Anything else you want to tell us, Morgan? I'm sure there's a lot many more questions I can ask you, but what else would you like to say?
I wish to convey my appreciation to you and all here who shine, who are brave and step beyond the illusions of self-doubt and denial, so that they are able to hold the vibration of inner truth with the light that they carry, that cast away the shadows of fear from those seeking a way home. I would also like to encourage you each to not lose heart and to know that the consistent light of creation is always activating that which needs to activate. So whether it appears so or not, as the ones with no names have spoken, the grand design is always working.
Thank you very much, Morgan.
You're most welcome. I bestow and send a blessing to you and yours and to all that are hearing this message. Know that I come before you in gratitude and love, and I lift your hearts to the light and embody the truth that you have called forward. Thank you for your time and your ears and your hearts.
That was fascinating.
Yeah, you liked it?
Now, do you know?
I still feel her.
Do you know what it was said? Or is that fuzzy, some of it?
Some I remember and some I don't. As time goes on, I'll forget it all. Vibrationally, I feel her very strong. Like, she's very interesting in that even before we started talking, I really felt her coming in. So it seems important that this was done. I hadn't channeled her for a while, so I recognize her now when she's coming in now, and I don't, like, push her away like I used to.
Did you know that you were an aspect of her and that I lived in that time period? Did you know that? Did you remember hearing that?
Well, I know what I know about myself and the different roles. I want to clarify and let people know that I feel so many of us played aspects of roles in in many, many ways spiritually. Like, there are many aspects of Mary Magdalene and Christ, and, you know, there's no telling what role anyone has played in any lifetime. So I first want to say that, you know, that activation or that aspect reality, it occurs, like, quite a bit with different beings. So I don't want anyone buying me a special T-shirt or a nasty T-shirt either.
Yeah. Well, I just wondered if you were aware that you were, because she said that you, because I asked her point blank, what was your connection to that time? And she said that you were one of her many aspects.
Yes, I knew it. And it's kind of like, it took a while to accept it, okay? I pretty much know who I am, you know, different roles I played. But I think even more, whatever roles I played before, I think this is true of all of us, it's what we do now that matters most.
Right.
You know, I think that the vibration she has, as I come into knowing and integrating with her more and more, you know, in the full realization, I feel her vibration is wonderful now, you know. I'm grateful that, you know, she didn't give up.
Right. Because you told me you weren't really, you didn't, we had talked about it, that there was a time you really didn't want to connect with her, correct? Is that what you told me?
Yeah. Yeah, I was resistant. I was resistant. But, you know, I think she also represents, I think we all have this too. So when I say this, I want to be very clear that I think what she represents for me is an aspect of my feminine empowerment. And I had to be ready to fully step into that. So, you know, I think we all have different aspects or ways we embody our power. and we may receive some easier than others, but because of the complexity of the role that she had and the different things that were said, it's not Mary Magdalene, but there were threads similar. Mm-hmm. And letting go of those old roles and really saying, I stand here for the truth is very, okay. Mm-hmm. And allowing that to be, just be, despite what anyone says.
You know, we did a show about a year or two back, probably a couple of years now, and you channeled Lincoln. And you also channeled JFK. Remember that, JFK?
Yeah.
And I thought at the time, why did JFK come through? And then I was going to that Golden Age of Gaia website, and somebody did something on, and it must have been another person channeling JFK, and they talked about he was at, during King Arthur's time, and hence the name Camelot when he was in as the president. And then I brought that up to Morgan, and she said he actually was, this other channel said he was Lancelot, but Morgan suggested that he was Arthur. And I just thought it was weird how we connected on that, didn't we? It's like it was kind of setting us up for this down the road.
Yes. And the thing is, it was that vibration. It did. It kind of set us up for this. And it's, I'm eager to find out what you find out about, you. What do you feel with this time frame, you know?
I definitely feel I was a knight. I even can feel the armor around me. And, I know that at one time I was a warrior who fought and took lives. Now, that is not the case anymore, but there was a time that I was one of those, more towards a warrior, maybe a warrior of light. I don't know. I'm sure I played many roles, but sometimes I wasn't always a warrior of light, maybe. But, I think that I did, I've always been fascinated with medieeval times, fascinated with being a knight. I don't know. It's just something, when you feel that, I really know when it's your heart telling you something, that there's more to it. Just like the Civil War and other things.
Yes, and it's interesting. I remember her not telling you, giving you a name.
Yeah.
I remember that, and I have a sense, but I get why she's doing that.
I know that too.
Yep. So I'm eager to hear what you come up with. Please make sure you let me know.
See, the thing is, she told me to look and read books and look at different things, but where do I start? I guess I can Google internet and things like that and try to find out as much as I can.
All right, I'm going to give you a suggestion.
Okay.
Google the Knights of the Names of the Round Table.
The Names of the Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah, thank you. I'm still like...
groggy?
Okay. Not groggy, it's like... I feel her very strong in my consciousness is the best way. So it's not, my mindset is, it's more fluid than when your mind is just operating. That's the best way I can describe it. It sounds complex.
Right.
But, yeah. Thank you for having me on to do this.
Well, we still got a little more time. I don't know if you want to go more, but we did talk about...
Sure. I just wanted to thank you.
Welcome. You don't have to thank me.
Yeah.
We've done this dance many times, haven't we? Not just in this time around?
Yes, we have.
Maybe around the round table we did this? I don't know. Here's another thing I got to think of, Joy. I never placed myself in the round table, and all of a sudden now, maybe I was there too,
Yep.
And then we talked about in the past that maybe I was at Joan of Arc. I was fascinated with her, connected to her, which is not too far probably from the time period of Arthur, maybe a few hundred years. And and then we go back to the time of Christ. Maybe I was there as well.
You've been busy. you know?
Civil War? What the heck was I doing in the Civil War? Why would I go and fight in that war, of all things?
Well, you know. You know what? I knew you in every one of those lifetimes, too.
I can't say that I remember you as much, because you obviously can see these things.
I do.
But I believe that it's certainly, if you say it's true, then I trust you.
Well, I remember you from the Christ lifetime. I remember you from
Joan of Arc?
Joan of Arc, yeah, I remember you from then. And I remember you from
Civil War,
and that's what I mean. It's like when you said that we had done those interviews during certain times, well, it's interesting they came up because we knew each other then. We were connected, you know? But, you know, a lot of us come in together. You know, light workers come in together, and we're part of the team. So we'll go in like a wave together, you know. And that's true. Stop and think when people have their families. You know, you go places together. Well, it's the same thing with coming into a lifetime.
And you know, I've heard people say that, like soul family. I don't know if there's any truth to this, but this is one thing that I read about, that they said that when we were created by the Creator, he, she created us in groups, basically aspects of herself. And so I don't know how many are in a soul family, 100, 1,000, whatever, but it's those journeys we go on. So we'd have familiarity so we could take those journeys together. Instead of maybe, and have somebody to lean on at times, or just to enjoy the journey together. And that's kind of what this is, soul family, you're saying?
Yes. Well, if you stop and think about it, when we come into the lifetime we come into and we look at what's happening in the globe, no one person could do it all.
Right.
Not in any lifetime. So it's necessary that we come in as soul family together. And, you know, it's interesting. In my life, I have been honored to meet many of my soul family. And let me tell you something, too. I have had some of the deepest struggles with my soul family. You know, there are times when, you know, I went through hard times and we didn't get along or whatever, you know. And the realization I had one day was the reason why we sometimes work through things that are really, really hard with our soul family is because the love is the strongest there. You know, see, the love will help us withstand anything. We just have to remember it and feel it. And that's something that seems to come up because, you know, we all have our own personalities and our own learnings and, you know, staying connected through it all. You know, when you know people, especially when you think about it, we come to this planet, we're born into a family, usually, that is not our soul family, okay?
Usually not your soul family.
We come into families. Now, there are times where you may have one or two people in the family that are, okay? But the absolute people that you've come to, say, do global work with, they usually aren't your biological family. And I think there's a reason for that. I think the reason is that, you know, there's an actual space inside of our souls that really feels the need to connect with soul family later. But as we're growing up, you know, we're entrenched in the family stuff, and there's like a feeling, a sense of not being fully connected to the family sometimes. And that will make us seek who else we know in our lives. And then we start to uncover them, and during that time, it's usually when our real work begins, when we connect with them. But that those early years were given that time to have the experience of being in a human body without the actual concept or idea that there's some world peace work we have to do in China, unless, of course, you signed up to do that very early. Mm-hmm. Usually not, though.
So we are moving...
My perception. Huh?
We are moving towards a world that is going to be, I mean, it's already here from what Morgan said, that we're really, you and I and others are already from the fifth dimension. We're living in a third dimension physical being, but we already see that and hold that. But the rest of the world is trying to go that direction, right? The rest of the people that are here, we're kind of assisting them with that.
Yes. If you think of it like this, the world, you think of the world for a minute as energy, okay? All the souls are energy points or dots of gold energy, and there's this wave of light, okay? And the wave of light, you know, is directing. There are certain souls that are wide awake, and they're able to send that energy out to those that are asleep. So what they're doing is sending it to those sparks of light that have forgotten who they are, you know? Does that make sense?
And the reason they've been asleep is because of they've been locked into this belief, would you say, this belief or this, even the part about reincarnation is a belief that people feel they have
it
to
is.
Live, and that's a different level of consciousness, and there are many levels of consciousness beyond that. So you don't have to do all those things, but people get locked into reincarnation, so they think, well, I got to come back again. And I know they always say there's a choice, but I think, well, I better go back down there. And it's like, we don't even have to do that. We don't even have to do any of that stuff. We can be free from all that.
Well, if you remember that the reality that you feed or nurture is what you grow. It's what you grow. It's what you live. It's the same thing in a garden. If you nurture the rose, it'll grow. That'll be your flower, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if your frequency or your vibration and your light is feeding a reality of there is no time or space and it's not required to keep coming back, if you're living from that vibration, then your reality is that now. If you choose to, let's say you choose a life where, you know, for some reason you have to go and experience the religious training and you get trapped into the idea of heaven and hell. And now these are, I'm sharing with you my perceptions of different things. And, you know, there are times I've worked as a medium and speaking to souls who have made transition. It's very interesting because there are times when, for example, I did a reading for a young girl whose father had killed himself. And she was very traumatized, of course. And I think it was a day after he killed himself. She said to me, "Wait, please do it, do it. Will you read? What do you get?" And I tuned in and I hesitated because I knew his soul hadn't completed transition. But in his mind, I feel he was given like some early religious training, and I could tell that he was felt himself disassociated from the light. Not that he wasn't light or that it wasn't there. It's that he hadn't acclimated vibrationally to the point of believing that he was worthy of connecting with the light. Now, when that kind of stuff is going on in somebody's transition, there are angels around them that may send light, or there are family members that will say prayers, and all these things at grace to help raise the vibration for them because they can't do it. But they'll experience this because of their belief system. They'll draw this experience to them on the other side. Now, there are souls that, you know, don't believe in time and space, like I said, so they'll go on, and the odds are they're going to vibrate into the light. So, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I guess I look at it like, didn't Jesus say there was, in my kingdom there are many mansions, and I've interpreted that as there are many levels of consciousness.
And yes,
we always go to wherever it is, whatever level we're on is what we go to after we leave a physical body, is where we, at least for a while. And then I think we can always find our way from there. And who knows, you know, I'm sure it's endless, but I mean, we can find our way back to Creator. So.
And what you're saying is congruent with what I'm saying, because, you know, if you, there's also something the ones with no names talked about. They said during this time there would be these 12 continuums. And if you stop and you think of a wheel, let's say a wagon wheel that has 12 spokes, those 12 spokes are levels of truth or dimensions, right? And these 12 spokes are meant to provide a way for somebody to get a continuum, okay? Mm-hmm. And then at some point, those 12 continuums will unify. So what Christ said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions or levels of awareness. I see that as continuums too. Mm-hmm. And I feel that those mansions will feel themselves set in the same building. It'll, you know, it's the unification of that. People will feel free, more and more free to travel from one dimension to another, which is happening, you know.
So even that is changing in higher consciousness. The levels, what we're seeing here on Earth is a huge change. It's in the process of already being underway, and I don't know how close it is. Any idea how close you think that we are to completion? Is there, do you sense any time period?
Well, it's interesting you asked that. When you did, I saw an image of Gaia, like, shaking off the density. Like, right now, she's doing that. That's why the earthquakes and the fires, she's shaking things off that are no longer cohesive for her in a way that it doesn't honor her form. There's, like, things that are birthing right now. I have seen maps, something called the I Am America map and the I Am map, that show the predictions of the outcomes after all the earth changes. And it's interesting. There was, I think I gave you the name of the book. Mm-hmm. The woman's first name is Laura, but she channeled Saint Germain. And this, I think, was probably over 25 years ago. But there's an outline of what's left. The time frame. Now, it's interesting when you ask about that because, of course, there is no time or space. But the Earth is in this process now. So if I were to say to somebody, you know, when they look at this, like, what do? I say, you know, what I want to say to you is don't think of waiting. Live it now. Don't wait. Live it now. Because it's all now anyway. So the people that are going to go are going to go. They're going to go. And the ones that are going to stay are going to hold the love. And there's a perfection to all of it. There really is. You know, it's the ones with no name said that the way the fear leaves the planet is the people who die take it with them. And then they go off and they learn what they need to learn, or they go and bask in the light, whatever it looks like. Okay, if we're all one. When I say this too, I understand that, you know, there's a grief process people go through with the human experience. But where I'm speaking to you from is the realm that there is no separation, and that, you know, if you raise your vibration, you can communicate with people from the other side. And anyone can do it. That's why I teach classes, you know, now, so that people get this sense that, you know, you don't have to worry that you're separate from anyone. So if the reality you want to live is heaven on earth, just live it now and understand that all the dimensions and all the people that you want to be and connect with they're available now.
And it's getting easier and easier to do that because the light is coming.
Yes.
There is more density on this planet, I think, as far as less light coming here. And because now more and more beings of light are coming here to begin with, but also,
yeah. You
know, we talked about this before, like there was almost like a shield put over the planet to keep light from coming in, and that's breaking, and those that are not of the light realize this, and they're doing what they can to scramble and keep chaos as much as possible. And it's just a matter of time and before this truly becomes a place of light. And, you know, people have said to me, and I've read about this, and I think we've talked about it, that this will be a place someday where people will no longer get sick, people will no longer die.
Yes. Yes.
People will no longer age.
So, yes, and there are certain information that's out there now that's working with shifting that. You know, already that's happening. I have personal experience with some things, okay? Like I notice if I'm sick or if it looks like something's going on with me and I don't feed it, I can get through it really quick. It stops existing very fast. And that's happening with a lot of us. I have seen Flo regenerated her finger. I mean, I've seen that happen. I've seen there are things happening now. But like I said, it's vibration.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about vibration. And what I mean by vibration, it's your consciousness. It's the essence of who you are, your heart, your soul. And it's the knowing, the state of knowing or grace that you have, that you're able to embody that which you only dream can be.
And also, don't you think, because this is what I feel it's been too, is when you fill your heart with love and joy, that raises up the vibration to stay in as much as possible.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest things, I smile about this, is that laughter is one, okay, and I've heard it said, I think I was channeling the ones with no names, and I took this and I held this because they had renamed me Joy, and I didn't like the name initially. I was having a fit. But I wanted a name like Centauri or Arista. I wanted one of those big, really cool names, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I got this name Joy, and I was so mad I didn't use it. And then I had done a channeling one day, and I took this memory back, and I think they wanted me to remember. They said in the channeling, the quickest way to raise your frequency is get joyful. And I thought, oh, that name isn't so bad. It all reminds me, you know? So I kind of plugged in. I was like, okay, we're going with Joy, I thought, you know?
That's a good one.
So, yep. So.
Well, I thank you, Joy, for being with me today, and we're going to be doing another one relatively soon. And you know that any time that you want to do this, I love to do these kind of things, and I always learn so much from them. So it's always a joy to speak with you. Thank you.
You're welcome, and it was a true delight for me, too. And I want to thank everyone who's listening for listening in, too. Thank you. It was really fun.